We've chosen to be here this morning. It's always encouraging to begin our worship on the Lord's Day and to be among the Lord's people. I really appreciate Levi's prayer just then, and appreciate all of your prayers on my behalf, especially as I try to preach the Word of God. That is my goal every time, and that should be our goal in everything that we do, is to glorify God. I would invite you to open up your Bibles to the story of Ittai the Gittite. And if that makes you hesitate about where to flip your Bible to, don't feel bad about that, because up until this week, I wouldn't have known where to turn my Bible to either. But that story is found in 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel 15. A little bit of trivia in case you ever end up on Bible Jeopardy or something. This is not the only Ittai in the Bible. The other Ittai is a Benjamite, and he's one of David's mighty men, and we read about him at the end of 2 Samuel. But this Ittai is not a Benjamite, but a Gittite. And the scene, to sort of paint the scene of what's happening here, 2 Samuel 15, is that David is the king. And as you know, David had a lot of hard things happen to him in his life. He was a man that was acquainted with grief. He was in constant sorrow because of the things that went on around him. Ever since he was anointed, he was constantly chased by Saul, and Saul was constantly trying to put him to death. But then even after he became king, things didn't really get much easier for him. He had a son named Amnon that raped one of his daughters. And he had another son named Absalom who came along to take vengeance on that son. And after he put him to death, he had to flee. And so what happens is that Absalom is away for a while, but then eventually Joab, David's commander, convinces him to come back. And for 2 years, Absalom lives in Jerusalem, but he doesn't see his father David. But then after that, eventually he's able to come and to see his father, and David kisses him and shows a lot of affection for him. But after those 2 years, Absalom begins to stand in the gates of the city. And Absalom might remind us of modern politicians to a certain extent, where he just sort of plants these little seeds in people's minds and tells them how he's going to make Israel great again. And he stands in the city, and the people come to him, and he says, "Hey, what city are you from?" And they say, "Well, I'm from such and such a city." And Absalom would listen to them, and he would say, "Wow, you know, my heart goes out to you. Unfortunately, there's just no one here to hear your case. But if I were king over Israel, I'll tell you, I would give you justice." And he would do that with all the people that would come through the city. And the text says that in this way, Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. So after he does that for 2 more years, at the end of 4 years now, he goes to Hebron. And when he goes to Hebron, he takes a group of people with him. And when he gets there, he declares himself king. And the news comes back to David. And David realizes that he's going to have to get out of Dodge. Like, things are going to get tough in Jerusalem if the people want Absalom to be the king. And so what he does is he assembles his men and the people that are faithful to him, and he starts to exit the city. And that's where our story takes place. So I'd like to begin reading in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 18. After he's heading out, he leaves 10 concubines to keep his house. They stop at the last house, and I read that as like the last house in the city limits. And verse 18 says, "And all his servants pass by him. And all the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the 600 Gittites who had followed him from Gath passed on before the king. Then the king said to Ittai the Gittite, 'Why do you also go with us? Go back and stay with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile from your home. You came only yesterday, and shall I today make you wander about with us, since I go I know not where? Go back and take your brothers with you, and may the Lord show steadfast love and faithfulness to you.' But Ittai answered the king, 'As the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, wherever my lord the king shall be, whether for death or for life, there also will your servant be. And David said to Ittai, go then, pass on. So Ittai the Gittite passed on with all his men and all the little ones who were with him. And all the land wept aloud as all the people passed by, and the king crossed the brook Kidron, and all the people passed on toward the wilderness. So I want you to just sort of picture this scene. I think there would be a lot of weeping here, and eventually we do see that David is weeping as he leaves the city. But here's the one that was the Lord's anointed, and he was a man after God's own heart, and he was the one that God intended to be the king. And because Absalom had stolen the hearts of the people, he's forced off of his throne and he's forced out of the city, and all of these people are with him. And it seems like there's hundreds of people that are with him. There's at least 600 Gittites. First of all, notice how many Gentiles are with David. That's interesting to me. It's not just the Israelites that are faithful to him. Where are all the Israelites? But he does have all of these Gentile people with him. And among the Gittites, he notices this man named Ittai, who apparently had only just shown up yesterday. And he's a Gittite, which means he's from the land of Gath. And if you know very much at all about Gath, then you know that's where Goliath came from. So not exactly the most stable of relationships between Israel and Gath. It was a major city of the Philistines. And at one point, David had fled to Gath when he was being pursued by Saul, and apparently he brought all these people with him. But just yesterday, Ittai shows up. And so David talks to him, and he asks him this question. He says, Ittai, you just came here yesterday. Like, you don't have to go with me. You stay here, you serve the king, and you can be safe here, and you don't have to go. And so what David meant was, you serve Absalom. He's going to be the king here. And David makes it very clear. He says, look, if you go with me, it's not going to be easy. I don't even know where I'm going just yet. The road is going to be hard. This is not an easy path for you. But I want you to notice in verse 21 what Ittai's answer was. We'll read it one more time. It says, as the Lord lives, and as my Lord the king lives, wherever my Lord the king shall be, whether for death or for life, there also will your servant be. So you notice that David tells him, you stay here and serve the king in verse 18. He's talking about Absalom. But in verse 21, when Ittai says the king, he says, you're the king. You're the Lord's anointed. You're the one that God has chosen to be king over Israel, not Absalom. And he expresses a lot of faith in God. He says, because the Lord anointed you, as the Lord lives, that's why I'll be with you. He said he would be faithful at any cost, whether being with David led him to exile from Jerusalem forever, whether it led him to life, whether it led him to death. David didn't even know where that would lead at this point, but Ittai said that he would be faithful at any cost. Does his statement remind you of anybody else in the Bible? Somebody who said, I'll be with you wherever. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. That was Ruth. And Ruth said that to Naomi. And did you know that Ruth is David's great-grandmother? I think that's pretty cool. You know, I don't know if this was like a family story that, you know, David knew about his great-grandmother. I don't know if maybe this like jogged his memory about that. But whatever it was, I think David saw the faith and the commitment, and you could even say the discipleship that was in Ittai. And so when Ittai says, I'm going to go with you wherever you go, he echoes the words of David's great-grandmother Ruth. David says, okay, come on, let's go. And they go on, and we hardly read anything else about this man. But I want to ask you to consider this, that David is very much what we would call a type of Christ. And, you know, if you're really familiar with studying the Bible and types, you might know exactly what I mean by that. But I don't mean that like he was a kind, like he was a version of Christ, but I kind of mean that. But I mean that like he foreshadowed Jesus in a lot of ways. And we read that Jesus is referred to as the Son of David. Jesus is the root of David. Jesus is also the offspring of David. And so there's so many parallels in the life of David in the life of Christ. And what Jesus ultimately fulfills is a promise that's made to David in chapter 7. Remember in chapter 7 that David goes to God and he says, God, I want to build you a house. And God says, no, I'll build you a house that will last forever, and your throne shall be eternal. That was fulfilled in the Son of David, Jesus. And you see the parallels really clearly in chapter 15 and verse 30. Check this out. As they're leaving, look at verse 30. But David went up the ascent of the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went, barefoot and with his head covered, and all the people who were with him covered their heads, and they went up weeping as they went. Do you know that's the same path that Jesus took? You know, a long time later, Jesus, the rightful king, the anointed king, the one that God had chosen, rejected by the people, forced out of Jerusalem, going to the Mount of Olives. The symbolism here is undeniable, that Jesus very much, that David is a foreshadowing and a type of Christ. And so what I want us to do for just the next few minutes is consider this question. The question that David asked Ittai was, why do you go with me? Let's answer that question for ourselves in terms of Jesus. Why do you go with me? Why do you choose to follow me? Why would you follow Jesus? And the point is that following Jesus is not for everybody. And Jesus didn't make any bones about that. He didn't beat around the bush. He never said that like everybody was cut out for this. The invitation is for everybody, but not everybody's going to do it. In Luke chapter 9, do you remember that somebody came to Jesus and said, I will follow you wherever you go? And in verse 58, Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Doesn't that sound familiar to what David just said? He said, I don't know where I'm going, Ittai. The road's going to be hard. It's not going to be like peace and joy all the time. It's going to be difficult. And if you're not cut out for it, then you're not cut out for it. You know, we can stand here and invite you to follow Jesus week in and week out, and your friends and your family can encourage you to make your life right with God, and your own personal Bible studies can show you what you need to do to follow Jesus. But at the end of the day, you just got to decide how serious about that you are. Maybe it's not for you. But if you're willing to go through whatever Jesus leads you through, then that's the invitation that Jesus is making to you. I want you to look at Psalm 23 with me. Psalm 23 is a very famous psalm about what it means to follow the Lord. It's only 6 verses, so we'll read all of them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, I think a lot of times we like those first 3 verses. You know, we're all about having Jesus lead us into green pastures and beside still waters. And we want that peace that passes understanding and all of that good stuff. But what about verses 4 and 5? You know, what if following Jesus leads you into the valley of the shadow of death? What if following Jesus leads you before enemies, making yourself vulnerable, putting yourself in harm's way? Is that something that we're willing to sign up for? What if following Jesus means that we have nowhere to lay our head, like Jesus had nowhere to lay his? And if we know all of that, if we know that it's not always going to be easy, and if we know that he's going to lead us into difficult situations, why would we even want to follow him? Well, did you notice in verse 4, David, the psalmist, says, I won't be afraid. I won't fear any evil. Why? Because you are with me. Remember the words of Ittai. He says, I'm going to be with you. Why, David? Because you're the king. You're the Lord's anointed. There's nobody else that I can serve in good conscience. It reminds me a lot of John chapter 6. When a lot of people were leaving Jesus, and remember, he turns to his disciples and he says, do you want to go away as well? And in verse 68, Peter speaks up and he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Isn't that what Ittai said? He said, you're the Lord's anointed. As the Lord lives, I'll serve the true king, not this king who claims to be the king. And so, if this is our attitude, then we'll want to be with Jesus wherever that leads us. And I would suggest that that would change our perspective about everything in life. That there's no question, there's no like moral dilemma, there's no like trying to figure out like where do I stand on this. I stand where Jesus stands. I believe what Jesus believes. I want to live like Jesus lived. No matter what the rest of Israel is doing, no matter who claims to be the king, my allegiance is to the Lord's anointed. I have two passages I want to show you about this. First, look in Colossians chapter 3. This idea of being with Jesus is an idea that is echoed throughout the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Listen to how much it talks about being with Christ. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You know, if we really choose to be with him, no matter what that is, no matter at what cost, then we realize that our life is not here. That our life is with him, and where he is in heaven. We're not going to find fulfillment or joy or satisfaction in our jobs, or in money, or in houses, or in cars, or in anything like that. Real life, true life, is only with him. But the other side of that is Romans chapter 6. And let me show you that real quick. Romans chapter 6. And again, we see this phrase, with him, echoed. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. The other side of what it means to be with the Lord's anointed, with the Christ, is it also changes the way that we view sin. And it means that we've died to it. We've died with him. That means the sin that we love the most, the one that, like, we hold really dear to us and, you know, it means a lot to us, we've died to it. We have to put it to death. We have to be rid of it. We have to lose our life to find it, like Jesus said. And so to be with him means we follow him wherever he leads us. Whether he leads us into pain or discomfort or into sacrifice. Whether it means that we give up worldly possessions or we give up our time to serve other people. Whether it means that we have to give up a lifestyle or we give up a sin that is present in our lives. We realize that our life is not here, but it's with him. So I don't think it's any coincidence that when we get to Revelation chapter 14 and verse 4, that when we see God's people pictured there, it says they are the ones that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. So here's the beautiful thing about deciding to be with Jesus, is that you don't know where it's going to lead you. It might lead you into a life of sacrifice that you never expected. It might lead you into all kinds of hardships, but eventually you do know where it'll lead. That if you follow him, if you're with him and your perspective on life, your perspective on sin, that you're with him and all of that, you'll eventually be with him before the throne of God. And that your steps will lead, his steps will lead you before the Father's throne. Now I'll tell you what, that once you get there, none of that other stuff will matter. You know that. I know you know that. But no matter what you had to give up, no matter how hard it was, no matter what sin you struggled with, it won't matter. None of it will hold anything to that. And you'll see the King. And you'll see him enthroned at his Father's side, and we'll be able to worship him forever. Nothing will have been too much, and we'll be with him for eternity. Now, I've stressed this idea of being with Jesus. And something that was really interesting to me in the study of Ittai and 2 Samuel. You know how I like names. You know what the name Ittai means? It means with me. I think that's pretty cool. That Ittai made the commitment to be with David. His name means with me. You know what a name of Jesus is? When Gabriel appeared to Mary and he quoted from Isaiah, he said, his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Ittai means with me. Emmanuel means God with us. And so I want to look at the final request of Emmanuel's prayer. Turn to John chapter 17. This is the last passage I'll ask you to look at. John chapter 17, we studied this in a lesson a few weeks ago. This is the last thing that Emmanuel, Jesus, prays for. Verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. I tell you what, the reason why I want to be with Jesus is because he is the Lord's anointed. He is the true King. No matter what anybody else would say, no matter what Satan would try to convince me of, Satan is the king, the God, the ruler of this world, but ultimately in the final analysis, Jesus is the only king. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Lord's anointed. And at one day, every knee will bow, and there won't be any doubt about that. But even beyond that, the reason why I want to be with Jesus, no matter what he asks me to do, and no matter what he stands for, is because the King of Kings wants to be with me. I want to be Ittai. I want to be with him because Emmanuel, God, wants to be with us. The end of Ittai's story is in 2 Samuel chapter 18. And in verse 2, his name just sort of pops up again randomly. And what's happened is that David is dividing up his troops. A third of his troops go with Joab. A third of his troops go with Joab's brother. And a third of his troops go with Ittai. He was a man who was faithful over a little, and he had been made ruler over a lot. And in the parable of the talents, that's what Jesus tells to us, isn't it? In Matthew chapter 25, he says that if we are faithful over a little, that we'll be set over much. And that his words to us in the end will be, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your Lord." And forever, we'll be with the one who wants to be with us the most. And so I would commend the statement of faith and loyalty of Ittai to you and encourage you to think about how much you want to be with the Lord, no matter what that costs you and no matter what lengths that drives you to, because he is Emmanuel, who's gone to such great lengths to be with us. I hope that's encouraging to you. We'll say a closing prayer, and at this point we'll go to our Bible classes. Our God and our Father, we come to you with humble hearts, and we realize that you are the only source of goodness and truth and blessing that there is, that every good and perfect gift comes from you, and that we have nothing good without you. And so, Father, we come to you just expressing our desire to want to be with you. We want to stand with Jesus and go wherever he leads us. We realize that our life is not here, but our life is with him. And our sin is something that we have died to because we're with him. And Father, we just thank you so much for the grace and the mercy and the love that was outpoured for us in his life and in his death on the cross. Because he proved to us just how much you want us to be with you. So, Father, we pray that you'll please give us the conviction of Ittai that we read about in your word, that we'll be committed to the Lord's anointed, to Jesus Christ, no matter what that means, because we believe that he alone has the words of eternal life, and we believe that through him you want to be with us. Thank you so much for him and for the life that we're able to live because of him and the hope of glory that we have by his sacrifice. We pray that you would please be with us as we break from this assembly and as we go into our Bible classes. Help us to study your word with open hearts, and we pray that your word would change our hearts today, that you would speak to us and that we would hear things that you want us to hear for our lives, and that you'd be with us throughout our Bible studies and throughout our worship service afterwards. We love you, and we thank you, and we pray that you'd be glorified. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.